There have been a lot of headlines over the last couple years about artists who sold off or lost control of the rights to their music. For example, the rights to Taylor Swift's first six albums were sold off for $600 million. She says that was without her knowledge. Other artists like Bob Dylan are selling their music rights off proactively. It turns out that there is a whole marketplace out there for investing in music royalties. I had no idea there was such a thing. Royalty Exchange is a platform where musicians and investors can come together. And they recently introduced something called The Exchange. Joining us now to talk more about the music royalty business is Anthony Bruno. He is Director of Communications for Royalty Exchange. He's in Denver, Colorado. Hello there.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show today.
What is the music royalty business?
Well, that's a broad question, but for our purposes, basically, the royalties are basically the way that anyone in the music business earns compensation for their contribution to a work. What many fans may not realize is that there is a whole host of people who contribute to the creation of the music that they listen to, and all of them earn royalties in exchange. And what's happening now, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, is that many of them are beginning to sell either all or a portion of those royalties to investors to basically generate some upfront cash that they could use to invest in other things or invest in their career while still keeping control over the rights that they have.
What has changed in the last couple of years that has this be even something that we're talking about? I mean, back in the day, if it wasn't the artist, maybe it was, I don't know, the label. But now there are just so many different ways in which someone can participate in a royalty stream.
Yeah, that's a good question. So previously, you had to be sort of an industry insider to gain access to royalty deals, right? These things did happen. There were some very large institutional investment in certain music companies backing certain music publishers and whatnot by like actually a Canadian public pension fund, I think for teachers, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Had supported one of the larger publisher institutions at the time. So, but it was rather restricted. And so a couple of things have happened over the last few years, one of which, not to put too much credit on ourselves, but we did launch and opened it up to basically any investor, any retail private investor, high net worth individual had the ability to review and buy directly from artists who were looking to sell a portion of those royalties. So that was sort of the first early step. And then more recently, what you've seen are some larger public funds who have gone public to raise money and then use the money they raise to buy far larger catalogs, such as some of the ones that you mentioned earlier, which then you can buy a share of that company, like a stockholder, and then earn from those royalties basically through a dividend that the company distributes. You're a few steps away from the from the revenue stream in that model, but it's another way of getting into it. So those are the two things that happen. And then I guess, lastly, what you're seeing is on the investor side, you've got this very low yield environment, as I'm sure you and your listeners are familiar with, where it's a little bit harder to put your money into relatively lower risk yield generating opportunities. And music royalties, while sort of sexy and fun from a first glance perspective, when you really break down the fundamentals of the investment, they're very, very solid. So for an investor who's looking to put their money into potentially double digit yield opportunities, this becomes a very attractive investment very, very quickly. So those are sort of the main areas that sort of developed over the last few years.
I mentioned the exchange. How does it work? I've been on the site. I see that Drake's In My Feelings is on there, but tell our listeners how it actually works.
So there's two parts to our marketplace. The first and the original was basically the auction house. These were basically timed auctions, and a seller, someone who owned royalties, would list their catalog. We'd have an auction. We'd announce it. You'd register for the auction. You'd place bids over the course of the auction. And at the end of that auction, the highest bidder would win and own that royalty asset. We still conduct those. The exchange is a broadening of that in two ways. One is that any investor who previously acquired an asset through an auction or otherwise on our marketplace could then relist those assets on the exchange to resell it if they chose to sell after they've collected their returns that they've liked, basically. So that was sort of the beginning of it. And then more recently, we added the ability for artists to directly add their catalogs to the exchange as well, should they choose not to conduct an auction. This way, they can set the exact price that they're willing to accept for their catalog, and investors can review both the direct listings or the previously owned listings and just sort of, I guess, more tactically make offers with very specific price levels that they're comfortable with without the timed auction and sort of back and forth bidding that you would see on the auction side.
For an investor, how do they think about return?
Well, return all is based on how much you pay, right? So I think what you're looking at is that how do you actually value a music royalty? And I think the misconception is that, you know, if you know music or if you like the music or if you like the artist, you're going to pay more. And that's actually, you probably would pay more, but it doesn't mean you necessarily should pay more. So one of the things that we've done is that we've tried to package these listings into easily comparable assets. So for every time you go into a listing, you're going to see the same information, regardless of the genre of the music or whether you like the music or not, or anything like that. You're going to be able to tell how old is the music, for how long has it been earning royalties, from what sources do those royalties generate, what is the trend rate of earnings over the last 3 years. And you could use those quantitative metrics to compare listing to listing and decide where you want to place your investment. You don't have to know a thing about the artist or the music at all to make a smart investment based on the way that we package these.
With a traditional, I don't know, exchange-traded fund, you've got history and you've got sort of market benchmarks for how, what return you could expect over the course of long periods of time. You know, people would say the equity markets return between 5 and 7%, for example. What would be a comparable in the world of music? I have no idea. I don't even know if you think about it in terms of an annual return.
We do look at returns. In fact, we every 6 months, we take a look at the returns that people, that a number of the investors that participate on our marketplace have enjoyed over the prior timeframe. We are able to monitor some of this based on the fact that we help administer the ongoing royalties that that they collect, not for every single type of asset on the marketplace, but for a good number of them and enough to make some analysis around that. And so most recently, what we've seen over pretty consistently over the last six and actually the last 12 months is you're seeing around, if you blend it all together, around a over 10% return that that they're collecting. In some cases, it's far more. In some cases, we've seen like 16%. We've seen some that can go far beyond that based on whether or not they sell after collecting royalties for a while, then sell at a premium. Those are one-off situations. But generally, on average, regardless of the kind of asset you buy or for the term that you're buying, you're seeing a blended average of around 10%, a little bit more than 10% returns.
And is that because you're buying a piece of the revenue that would come when someone streams it on Spotify? I mean, this is not the physical sale of vinyl or a CD anymore.
Well, see, that's where it gets into the more complicated part, which I'll try not to get too deep into, but basically—
Two sentences.
Yes, you are able, in most of the assets that are available on our site, you will be generating royalties from the streaming of music on Spotify. But that's not the only source of royalties. However, we feel that streaming is where the tailwind of the industry is. It's really what's driving most revenue in the industry. So if you're buying royalties that predominantly earn from streaming, you're likely to have a better chance of collecting more royalties in the future.
It's fascinating stuff. Anthony, thank you for joining us to talk about it today.
Great. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Anthony Bruno is Director of Communications for Royalty Exchange. We were talking about the music royalty market, and they've got this product called The Exchange. It's a platform. You can go and invest in the artists that you love, but don't use that to blind the investment potential just because you're a big Drake fan.